Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Today's episode is brought to you by Cars.com. With over 2 million vehicles and 50,000 more added every day, Cars.com will match you with the perfect car for you, your budget, your life, your style. And if you're ready to say goodbye to your current car, Cars.com will get you an instant offer to cash it in. Just start by entering your license plate and get matched with a local dealer who will write you the check. So whether you're looking to buy or sell, just go to Cars.com. It's magical.
On today's Patriot Nation podcast, we talk about Stephon Gilmore spotted coming back to New England, not renting a Hertz car, maybe renting a Hertz car, we don't know, but actually spotted on a plane, exclusive story, heading back to New England. Could be a good sign. We also have a draft of the greatest undrafted players in Patriots history. Oh, baby. It's a heck of a show, so buckle up and cue the music.
Stack receivers, two to the right. Russell Wilson extends the hands he has. Wilson, quick throw. And it's good. Intercepted. Intercepted at the buzzer. Butler has it at the one. Malcolm Butler stepped in front of the throw. And the Patriots have possession with 20 seconds to go.
All right, gentlemen, we are back live on YouTube and Twitter and all over the place, and school is officially out for summer.
Let's go.
There you go.
So excited.
I know you're lucky you have that same it feels like you always have a summer vacation since school, like college to now.
Yep.
Now it's just work for everybody else.
Oh, it's gorgeous. Beautiful.
Hey, I'm on summer vacation too. Spags, you're the only one.
I know, right?
Me and Pat are just hanging out.
I'll tell you what, I think the teachers look forward to it more than I think. I look forward to the summer more now than I did when I was a kid. I'm like, summer, let's go. I'm so amped about it. And I was saying to you guys off air, like, first day of summer vacation tomorrow, and I'm waking up early, but I'm waking up early to go golfing. So I'll wake up early to go golfing. I got no problem with that. So the only two things will get me out of bed in the morning, early in the morning, that's golf and the Patriots. So, you know, Patriots, I'll do early morning. Golf, I'll do early morning too. So, but here we are. Speaking of getting out of bed, no, I can't do it. I was going to try to make some smooth transition. I can't. I'm not even. No, it's fine. Stephon, maybe it was an early flight. I don't know. Maybe it was a morning flight.
Yeah, that's another reason to get up early, I guess.
So
talk about the flight.
Stephon Gilmore was spotted on a flight from Florida up to New England. Looks like he's back in town. Hopefully they're working on some sort of deal. We don't know if that's the case, but hopefully that is the case and they're working on something. We'll see.
I mean, he's under contract. So like, you know what I mean? Like,
right.
I'm assuming he has a place here. Maybe he's come back. I mean, obviously it's a good sign, right? It shows he's in the area, at least with camp, 5 weeks out. But I think a good friend of mine, Jerry Thornton, said to re-sign. Obviously,
yeah.
I know what he meant, right? To sign a new deal. He's under contract, but I mean, it's obviously a good sign he's back in town. What that means, who knows? Like I said, he's just probably coming home.
He's got a real estate.
He's had most of the off season in not cold New England, right? So,
right.
Like I said, I think we talked about it last week. I think they'll ultimately get something done before camp. Albert Breer noted in his Monday morning quarter QB, that MMQB, he writes, which I think he's really good. He's obviously plugged in. I think he has a lot of ties up here. It said for weeks now, he thinks the Patriots will give him a bump by the time training camp comes. And I think that's what ultimately will happen. But like I said, you know, him being back in town, I think that's a good thing and good news for the Patriots, who open up camp in just about 5 weeks.
Yeah, and what you did see was he was right back on a plane and back in South Carolina like 5 minutes later, talking about Gilmore. So whatever he was doing here, it didn't take long. Like, yeah, he might have come to sign some papers. Oh,
he's back in South Carolina now?
Oh, yeah. He was back the next day, the next morning. So
flying Spirit Airline to Myrtle Beach, the only flight that goes to South Carolina.
Yeah, spring break. He's on spring break. Like, we know contract talks don't take like 5 hours. You know, you're not just right back on a plane right after. So who knows? I don't think it's much to look into. But it's nice those kids got a picture with Gilmore on the plane. Yeah. That's pretty sick.
Yeah.
And print it out, put it on their dorm room wall, you know?
Right, dude. And all over, not only did they get a picture with Stephon Gilmore, but then it was all over Barstool and everywhere else too. Like, pretty dope. Pretty cool. So, you know, it's one of those things. Listen, I mean, I think then the question becomes, like, you say, you know, Breer says they're going to give him a bump. It's going to be a question of, do they give him a 1 year thing this year, or do they give him, you know, an extension? And I use the Taysom Hill, you know, the Taysom Hill example. Of course, it won't be Taysom Hill, but do they give him dead years, you know, void years to spread out the cap hit, or do they give him an actual extension? And that to me is the question, because at this point, if they were going to trade him this offseason, it would have happened already, I believe, at least. And so maybe they let him walk at the end of the year, and don't re-sign him to a long-term extension, but I'm pretty confident that he's going to be starting in New England in 2021, and then we'll see what happens moving after that, you know?
Yeah, so absolutely.
So we'll see. But we're going to get into this draft. I'm pretty excited about this. Keegan kind of had an idea of a new segment, I guess, to do every week. And so, Keegan, I'm gonna let you take it away. Kind of give us the ground rules here.
Yeah, I absolutely stole this idea. I don't want to act like I came up with this, you know, revolutionary idea, but a bunch of other podcasts do it. A bunch of other people do it. No one does it Patriots specific like we're going to do. And I think that's perfect to kind of bring something that's worked and that people seem to enjoy to the Patriots space. So it's going to be a draft every week. The number of rounds will probably vary. This week we're going to do 4 rounds. It's going to be snake style. So whoever gets the first pick, let's say it's Spags, it'll go Spags, Pat, me, then me, Pat, Spags, and then back around the other way. So we're going to do a draft every week. We're going to switch up the topics. Hopefully, maybe not next week, but the week after, we'll try to get some guests on, have a 4-person draft. Mm-hmm. Just try to have as much fun with it as possible. And what I'm excited about is it's going to give me something to do since I'm on summer vacation with Pat. We're going to have graphics to come out every Friday or Saturday, whenever the podcast goes up. That day around noon, I'll drop a graphic on the Twitter page, and it's going to be anonymous. It'll just be, you know, 1, 2, 3, and then we'll put a poll below. So you'll be able to vote for whoever you think had the best team or the best draft. And then we'll keep a tally. We'll, you know, we'll do whatever. Maybe whoever has the least amount of wins by the end of the summer has to do something.
Love it.
It's a great idea, because this is absolute no man's land for football talk right now.
Yep.
Yes.
Especially you, like, guys, it's just, you know how it
you
is.
Guys told me I could be on the podcast, and I was like, I gotta do something for the summer. Yeah. I gotta bring something.
Still
to the
be
table.
On vacation if you didn't come up with this. So
I'm putting the boys back to work. So
yep.
This Love week, it. Undrafted free agents. I'm gonna spin the wheel real quick. We'll get the draft order.
So just to make sure that people know, and you can spin the wheel while we're doing it. But just so we know, it has to be started with the Patriots. So in other words, can't have been picked up by another team and then start, you know, and then played here afterwards. There are examples of that, obviously, but in this case, we're talking about just guys that were signed initially by the Patriots.
Right. And so the order this week is going to be me, Pat, Spags, and then it's going to come back around Spags, Pat, me, Pat, Spags, Pat, Spags, Pat, me.
Yeah. All right.
So I guess I'll kick it off with the first overall pick in the undrafted free agent draft. I'm taking Adam Vinatieri. I don't think there's anybody else to take. 160 games with the Patriots, 3-time Super Bowl champion, made like the 3 best kicks in the history of the NFL. Went on, played 14 extra years on top of his 10 in New England, 14 years in Indianapolis, won a Super Bowl, single-handedly got them there. I mean, he's the greatest kicker of all time, and Bill Parcells picked him up off the scrap heap out of NFL Europe, and he ended up becoming the GOAT. So I think he was the only logical pick here. You know, it's Adam Vinatieri. I mean, if you're the greatest at your position, you're worthy of a first pick.
He's the GOAT. And it's funny, I saw some lists had him off of there because like he played for like the, I don't even know, some
Amsterdam Admirals.
Yeah, something like that. I'm like, come on, get out of here. Like, come on, he counts. So you know, yes, Adam Vinatieri, obviously the only pick that makes sense at number one. And so here I am stuck at number two. And you know, it's funny because I honestly would have loved the ends here because number one, you get Adam. And then at three, you get three and four. And so now, you know, I'm at two. And look, I'm going to get a good player too. Don't get me wrong. But, you know, it is what it is. But I'm going to have to go. I mean, you have to go with Malcolm Butler. I mean, how could I take anyone other than Malcolm Butler in the situation? Because it's a situation where you look at it and just say, hey, this is it. This is the only way to do it. So he won them a flipping Super Bowl, for God's sakes. Was on the 2016 team as well that won a Super Bowl. So he's got two rings here. Didn't play in another one, but was on the team for another one.
Special teams, baby.
We're talking about that right now. But, you know, but nevertheless, you know, undrafted player. And not only the crazy thing about Butler was not only was he an undrafted free agent, he was a camp body. He was a rookie mini camp body. They had signed all of their unrestricted, all of their UDFAs. And they were like, we need more guys for camp. And they just went out and just found some warm bodies and were like, hey, come on into camp. He impressed during that camp. And so they gave him an invite to training camp. And that's how he got on the team. He wasn't even an undrafted free agent. Like, people were like, who the hell is this guy? They completely ignored him. Everyone did, including the Patriots. And they just happened to invite him to camp, and the rest was history.
It took him a while to see the field too, right? Like he didn't even play like the first, or he wasn't active the first like 8 weeks. So.
He wasn't, but I remember 2014 training camp. He wore 29 during training camp. Yep. And I remember going to training camp being like, who the hell is 29? Like, that guy's like all over the field. And Brady commented on it as well. Like, you know, 29 today, like had a great day. And it was like, what the hell was that guy, dude? And he just like, he got cut and then ended up making the squad. It's funny. Craven LeBlanc, like 2 years later, did the same thing in minicamp.
Yeah.
And then got cut and then immediately got picked up by someone. They were trying to sneak him onto the practice squad. I'm still like, oh, and like LeBlanc is fine. He's not great, but like, you know, anyways. All right, Spags.
I'm going to stick with the corner. I was going to go Butler if you went with this, but I think probably, you know, obviously Butler has the tenure and the legacy here. But I think when you're talking about the best corner to come out in terms of an undrafted free agent, it's got to be JC Jackson. Which I think is funny when you kind of look into that year, right? He makes it as the lone undrafted free agent out of 2018. And they had actually spent a second round pick on Duke Dawson that year. And they felt comfortable cutting him. And you know, he earned regular rotation as a rookie and then, you know, became their cornerback number two for the last 3 years. Now was a big part in that Super Bowl. Was it 53 win versus the Rams? Mm-hmm. So obviously due for a big payday, whether it's here or somewhere else in the next year or so. So I think when you talk about, you know, a guy who just cover Jackson, who knows if he can be a true number one. I think if he ever got to the open market, he'd probably be paid by that. Who knows how the Patriots value him. I think he's a great piece next to Gilmore, and I think he can certainly get there. Not ready yet, but I think when you're talking about, you know, the gems that they've found, JC Jackson's at least top three.
Yeah, and he doesn't have the moment like Butler, but he's absolutely a better player. Like, would you rather have? You know, right. They even made that decision a couple of years ago. They wanted Jackson. So
for sure, I will say, imagine what the narrative would be if the Patriots had drafted JC Jackson in the second round and Duke Dawson was a UDFA. Like, that's the type of stuff where it's
their
drafting sucks and all this other stuff. Yeah. And it's like, well, yeah, but they in the same draft they had a UDFA who's like a stud. So it's just like, you know.
Instead, we have to have Kyle Duggar kill the second round DB
That's right.
My boy's going to be an all pro. I'm just saying.
Yeah. Joe One Williams ain't doing it. So we need Kyle Duggar to do it. All right, Spags, you're up again, brother.
I'm up again. Yeah, I was going to take another DB because you know who's talk about. Pat knows.
Yeah, I know.
But I'm going to stay. I got to take my guy here. I'm going to go with David Andrews.
Damn it.
Yep. I mean, two-time Super Bowl champion. Obviously, Stork was their original center for that 2014, had the concussion issues. And Andrews kind of came in. He had talked about when he signed, right after he signed a deal this year, obviously the first time he had tested the market, he had said, I didn't have a plan to play in the NFL. Like, I was going to be live in Georgia and, you know, coach, teach and then coach high school football. Like, and now I'm here signing a big deal, being one of the captains. I think when you look at his legacy here, you saw how valuable he was to that team the year he had to miss. What was it, 2 years ago? That offensive line was in shambles. His job goes so much beyond just snapping the football. The relationship he has with his quarterbacks, the leader, he's been a three-time captain now, will be a captain again this year. Another gem and somebody that, you know, fits that Patriot way type culture. Those are the guys you want in your building. So I think David Andrews, and just a fan favorite. I mean, come on.
That's a guy that, like, no one doesn't like David Andrews. No one's ever met him and not like
him. If I could
drink
with one dude on the team, I'm crushing a 30 rack with David Andrews.
I feel like if I drank with David Andrews, I'd probably die. So I might resist. I might resist not going without with him. That brings me back to me. And see, the tough spot. It's a tough spot, man. I hate making this decision because there's so many good players left on the board. But I'm going to take the guy that you almost took, and I'm going to go John Jones.
Yeah, that's my guy.
John Jones, one of the best slot corners in the NFL, dominates. PFF loves that guy. Mm-hmm. And I love him too. He's a great player. And you know, not really an outside guy, but the corner. I mean, you know, that the slot position is such an important position, and he does it extremely well. And so, John Jones is the pick.
I think, I mean, he's one of the most underrated players, not just of this Dynasty 2.0, just the Dynasty, the 20-year stretch.
Right.
Like, no one's ever had a bad word to say about John Jones on the field. And he does everything. He'll play in the slot. He'll also just become the safety in the AFC Championship game and shut down Tyreek Hill, like, no problem. Like, that's – you could put that guy anywhere, and I'm sure he'd be fine. Like, he'd figure it out. So, I think that's a great pick. That brings it to me. This is tough. I'll have back-to-back picks, but I'm between two young guys, one guy that's gone and one guy who kind of has the future ahead of him. But I'll take my guy, Jakobi Meyers, wide receiver one. That's the best wide receiver on your football team right now. Undrafted free agent, former quarterback. I mean, he's played 30 games. He has 85 catches. That's more than N'Keal Harry in the same stretch. That's more than Gunnar Olszewski, who's another guy who might get picked, but he's just a guy who came in, earned a spot when he definitely wasn't supposed to make that team with, you know, they ended up trading for Antonio Brown, but Josh Gordon, N'Keal Harry, who was a first-round pick. Like, that receiver room going into that year with Edelman and all them, that was – everybody thought that room was stacked, and he carved out a role for himself, and he's the guy who's stuck. No one else is stuck. So I think he's the perfect guy for this spot. And then I'll go back around, which this was my sneaky pick. I don't know if you guys would have him, but I can't wait till the last pick to take him. It's Gino Capoletti, AFL MVP. He's the only person in the history of the NFL to score 40 touchdowns and 100 field goals. I mean, he's one of the greatest players in the franchise's history, and no one remembers him because they sucked. So, Gino Capoletti. I got two
AFL.
Kickers.
That's some Tampa Bay Lightning type shit, Keegan.
Yeah,
come
well,
on.
It's tough, but I do have two kickers, so somebody's going to look at my board and be like, screw this guy. But
what?
I have to take Gino. If we let him get to the last round or not go drafted, that's a travesty. So I got Jakobi Meyers and then Gino.
Yeah, you know what? Oh, my God, dude. You know, I'm embarrassed. I'm embarrassed that I forgot about him. I mean, the hard thing is that he was playing professional ball before the Patriots, but it was up in Canada, so it was like a little bit different. So I guess I wasn't thinking of him like as a typical undrafted free agent. That is what it is.
I mean, he was bartending when he signed with the Patriots. Like,
right. Well, that's what I'm saying. So, he was out of football for a full year.
Oh yeah.
Right.
So I thought it fit the criteria.
No, it does. It does. We'll let it play. We'll let Adam go as well. So as we should. So, So let's see. So I got. We have two more picks left, right? Because we're going four rounds. Will he get back to me? That's the question. So I can't go another corner. Well, there's another corner on the list, but I can't do it. All right. Screw it. I'm gonna go with my guy, Adam Butler. Love Adam Butler. Great player. Obviously gone now, but he's just one of those guys. Came in, filled the role, played extremely well when he was here. He's my guy. I gotta take him. I was pissed that they didn't re-sign him, but it looks like they're heading towards kind of an odd man front with a bigger defensive line as opposed to those smaller guys. Like, well, not that small, but you know, relatively small guys. And so I'm going to go Adam Butler here.
I mean, if the last few years are any indication, he'll be back next year. Like, guys just sign there for a year and then they're back. So Brandon Bolden, Ted Karras,
that's right.
Kyle Van Noy, like, who knows?
Yep.
Good pick, Pat.
Thank you. Spags, you're up, sir.
That's a tough one. I'm going to keep it recent. And there's probably a guy I'm leaving off the board here. I'm looking at an NBC Sports article that ranks the best undrafted free agents by the Patriots. But I'm going to go with a guy who's an all-pro last year, Gunnar Olszewski.
Gunnar. And I think
start to carve out a role for himself as a receiver. Somewhere down the line here, everybody remembers how Edelman started. Obviously, I think Edelman was a much gifted receiver and kind of found a way on the field with Moss and all them. Where Gunnar, you know, has a little bit of ways to go. But I think you might see his role expand a little bit more than special teams this year.
Hey, him and Adam Vinatieri, the only two all-pros on the list. So,
boom.
That's not bad.
Not too shabby. Yeah. All right, Spags. Last pick.
I'm going to see, as much as I want to go Brian Hoyer, because I want you to put respect on that guy's name for the amount of money he's made. I'm going to have to go with the comment here. I'm going to go with Ryan Allen, Super Bowl 53 hero. You don't win that MVP. Game without him. Literally, like, if Julian Edelman, you know, had five less catches, you might have Ryan Allen be the, like, in MVP talk. I got to go with Ryan Allen. I think his impact for a long time. People don't, I mean, like, the Patriots probably would have lost 12, 13. Like, everyone's like, oh, if, you know, if they didn't win this game, they'd pick Trevor Lawrence. If they didn't have Jake Bailey last year, they might have lost three more games.
Right.
Like, really. Yep, he was literally their best player. So they are important. I mean, you saw in the Super Bowl, so I got to go with Ryan Allen.
The only thing I don't like about that pick is that I wasn't going to pick him, and I would have loved to have Keegan have two kickers and a punter on his list. It would have been amazing. And they would have been all legitimate picks, but it would have been amazing. Yeah.
I wanted to go Hoyer, but...
I'll talk about it after the podcast, but there was a chance I was going to go two kickers, two punters. I decided against it, but there was a chance.
That's fantastic. All right, I'm going to go with a guy off the list. I'm going to go off the list here, off the board, I believe. I don't think anyone has him on his list, although they might. I give you guys a little bit of credit here, maybe. And I really kind of want to go with another guy, but I'm not going to take him because that's way off the list. I'm not going to do that. But the guy I'm going to go with, former wrestler, never played football in his career before he came, Stephen Neal. That guy, Bill Belichick and Dante Scarnecchia found that man and turned him into a football player. I don't know how they did. I don't know how they did it. But they found a wrestler and they said, you know what? You'd be really good at playing offensive line. Why don't you go do that? And he dominated the good portion of the early dynasty. He was so good in the interior of the offensive line. And I love how mad that just made you kick it. So.
I swear to you, he was the next guy written on the list. And all I had written down next to his name, like, I wrote stats for everybody else. I just had beat Brock Lesnar for a national championship. That's the coolest thing anybody's ever done. Like,
I mean, come
Brock
on
Brock
Lesnar
has won WWE championships, UFC championship.
Right over my head, WWE.
But he's done it. Like,
no, but he was a real wrestler, though. He was like a Greco-Roman wrestler, like an actual college.
I didn't know
wrestler.
That. And obviously I know who he is, but I didn't know that part of him.
Yeah, he never played football
UFC
in his life.
Champion. Like he beat Chuck Liddell's ass, like this, or Randy Couture. Brock Lesnar's legit, and so is Stephen Neal. And I'm up with the last pick. I might take a punter. It's tough.
There's so many good players on the list, though.
I won't take it just because it's, you know, it doesn't look good on the graphic. I'm going to take Brandon Bolden.
Brandon Bolden,
three-time Super Bowl champion, 114 games. He scored 9 touchdowns. Who knew? Like, I don't remember a single Brandon Bolden touchdown, but he's done it.
He scored 1 against the Patriots last year.
Yeah, he did. Miami. I mean, any one of the players that is a three-time Super Bowl champion deserves to be on a list when you're talking about the greatest Patriots. To stick around as long as he has as an undrafted running back who doesn't play running back, like just straight up refuses to play offense. Unless
one of those guys
time.
That Belichick just loves, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
He'll always have a place here, whether he's 50, like he'll always have a roster spot.
You saw the videos, you know, when he came in for mini camp, he's like dancing in while he's stretching and Belichick comes over and hugs him. And I think Brandon Bolden's a very likable guy and he's very good at what he does. Like he's one of those guys, he does what he does and he does it well. So I had to take Brandon Bolden.
I like even it. That one's for Murph.
Even though I wanted, yeah, I got his vote. So I wanted to take Rich Camarillo. Pat might remember him. Five-time Pro Bowler, Rich Camarillo.
Way back in the day.
Retired as the highest paid punter of all time. I wanted to take him. I decided against it.
The problem is that 99% of the people that would see that post would have no idea who Rich Camarillo is.
Exactly. And
so I would know. My dad, who I think is watching, would greatly appreciate that pick. And just the fact that you mentioned Rich Camarillo, he's like, all right, mm-hmm. I like this guy, Keegan. You know? Keegan's book. But yes, Rich Camarillo probably would have lost you the draft somehow with Adam Vinatieri and Gino on your list. So it's probably a wise decision not to do that. I will say there were a ton of guys that got left off the list. Yeah. Bolden, I loved Bolden on there. Kyle Arrington, I think, mm-hmm. Obviously got a lot of flack at the end of the year. But
he got paid in Seattle, right? Didn't he, Justin Coleman?
Yep.
Justin Coleman.
Justin Mike Coleman Wright. broke his arm in the Super Bowl.
Yes.
Like immediately. Right.
Yep.
Yep.
Mike Wright, another number 99, the white offensive line, white defensive lineman, I should say.
No one remembers him, but he was very good for like 10 years, and just no one ever talks about
him. Like, oh, yeah, that guy. Oh, yeah, you did. The law firm, Ben Jarvis Green Ellis.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
That's tough.
Never fumbled
in his career. I think didn't he go to like Cincinnati and like instantly Bengals fumbled in legend. His first game?
Yep.
He like fumbled in his first game with Cincinnati.
Two fumbles in his first game, I'm pretty sure. And he got paid like $4 or $5 million to go to Cincinnati.
And it was like he had never fumbled, not only just never fumbled in the NFL, he had never fumbled in college. And like he went to Cincinnati and all of a sudden could hold on the ball. It's like, well, it's just Cincinnati.
Crazy.
Randall Gay.
Yeah.
Good player.
2002.
Randall Gay didn't start in college. He didn't start. He was a corner who didn't start in college and made it to the pros. How is that even possible?
The only thing more impressive than that is Matt Cassel never starting a game in college and getting drafted.
Yeah.
Like, that's crazy.
That's very true.
But Davis Mills, 2.0.
I know, exactly. Right?
He played 10 games. But
in his defense, though, at least, like, he was playing behind two Heisman Trophy winners, at least.
Yeah.
Right? Like, this guy was just a corner who couldn't even see the field. I mean, like, yeah.
Like, there are two cornerbacks. There's only one quarterback. There are two corners or three or four. Like,
right.
You could find a way to start a game or two.
Shout out to my mom, who could never remember Randall Gay's name and would just call him that gay guy. She was like, that was a great play by that gay guy. I'm like, yeah, Randall Gay. Yep. Uh-huh. She's like, yeah, that guy. Yeah, he's great.
Original 21 who made plays in the playoffs.
That's right.
OG. Yeah. Yep.
And then the last guy on my list who I really wanted to draft in the last round. But again, like, how do you do it? Lonnie Paxton. I mean, you know, it is. Say there you go. Lonnie Paxton, final round. I mean, come on now. Lonnie Paxton's like, you know, great long snapper for the Patriots. Obviously, had the snow angel there at the end. Tats all over the place and everything. But anyways, those are the guys on my list. I don't know if you guys had anyone else that you had on your list that was of note, but I
just had Camarillo of note. I was looking. I was trying to find old guys. Just like maybe there's a gem in there. Like, I don't know if most
practice squad legend DJ Foster. Remember him?
Boom, DJ Foster.
He's gonna be the next Shane Vereen. You know what I mean?
Oh yeah, we went to like Arizona State. Like, oh, this guy, yep. He's so good. No,
he looked great in that yellow uniform.
Enter James White and see you later, pal.
Yeah.
No chance that guy was ever gonna make the roster.
No.
Wasn't he tiny too? Like, not JJ Taylor tiny, but he was around there.
He was
skinny.
Not very
he was like he was like a buck 125. He was the skinniest guy I've ever seen. Well, they had him play wide receiver. They didn't even have him play running back during preseason. He wore number 9, I think. And he was like, running slants, getting lit up by the Giants because they play the Giants every year.
Right.
That's all I had. That's all I had on my list was Camarillo, and then everybody else got drafted.
Yep. Nice.
I didn't have Ryan Allen on the list, which is disrespectful, but I knew somebody else was going to take him. And I knew I couldn't have two kickers and a punter. So.
You couldn't do it. But I got to tell you, man, the Geno pick, I'm a little upset at myself because
I just don't know if I don't know if there are enough old people on Twitter to back me up on this.
I mean,
I'm gonna have to find someone.
It is a Twitter vote. That's very true. It is a Twitter vote. But like, still, like, he's in the Patriots Hall of Fame. I mean, people should know who Gino Capoletti is. But I mean, yeah, I guess maybe not.
And
I have
I'll
a
say
little
this.
Bit. Maybe I have more faith in people than you do.
Yeah, I have no faith in anybody. But I'll say this now: it is an anonymous Twitter vote. Even though we're talking about it on the podcast and everything,
let's put our names on it.
No, because Spags has like 9 times as many followers as me, and that's bullshit. Like, you just can't do that.
And not many people tuned in, so yeah, that's a good idea.
Good point. Like that's a great point, Keegan.
So the people who listen, they'll know our reasoning. But if not, it's random. I'm sure Pat's Bubble will give it a retweet, so a lot of people are going to see it. So we want it to be random. We don't want to just be like, oh, I've seen that name Ryan Spagnoli before. I'll vote for him. No, that's
get on here with it.
Hey,
Quinn Norton. You never know.
I'm a big Quinn Nordin guy. Everybody knows that about me. I said that he was great in college, and then like 9 people were like, he missed 15 kicks in his senior year. I was like, it doesn't matter. He'll be good in the NFL. I think he's going to make the team.
I mean, you never know. He's got to outseed the OG, Nick Folk.
Yeah. Well, he's the only guy that can keep the streak going. Even though the streak's technically not alive because J.J. Taylor didn't make the opening roster. He just played week 1. Right. But I'll let it slide. We'll keep the streak.
Yeah, they
going.
Did that. Why? Because they had to put someone on IR, right, to not lose him for the season.
Yeah. Yeah. I think Kajust, who never played.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That was worth it. So, anyways, that's all. That's it. That's all we got.
Yeah, just to run down the draft real quick.
Do it.
Just join in. I had Adam Vinatieri, Jacoby Myers, Gino Cappelletti, and Brandon Bolden. Pat had Malcolm Butler, John Jones, Adam Butler, Stephen Neal. Spags had J.C. Jackson, David Andrews, Gunnar Olszewski, and Ryan Allen.
There you go.
I think it's very even for the first one. Could go any way.
I agree. Nobody got smoked. You know, like that's what we're looking for.
Good
team. You know what I mean? So, anyways. That's what we got. Thanks for listening, guys. Make sure to get out and vote on Twitter for who you think won the draft.
That Friday afternoon.
Yes. And make sure you tune in every week to obviously another episode and another draft. We'll be doing, we'll be doing all sorts of things. So, what's up, Josh? Thanks for coming by. Take care, guys, and we'll see you next week.